see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Well, Diggy's from Chicago, Clay's from Chicago, Dustin's from Chicago. I've met Mike plenty of times because they're all friends together. We have a group chat called the Black Charette. Like, it's just, it's really weird. But
wait, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, hey, we're the only ones, really.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Today, we get to take a trip back to 2016, arguably one of the most traumatic years of our collective lives, in order to revisit the final pre-Trump season of The Bachelor.
Lucky us. I mean, in a way, Ben's was a great season. In another way, it was a terrible year. And also, I don't really need to ever see Ben Higgins' season again. So last night was a rocky one for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think every week we're just finding that the 3-hour format is deeply unnecessary. But before we get into our recap and our interview, we want to offer a call to action.
This week, our call to action is to email the Kentucky Attorney General and Governor demanding that the officers who killed Breonna Taylor all be fired and charged.
Thus far, just one officer has been fired. And so you can send an email, definitely make sure to write your own so it doesn't get filtered out, at the link at tinyurl.com/emailBreonnaTaylor. And we're going to put that link in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And also, an important way to help out is just to stay involved, read the news, keep up with what's going on, and find places to donate, find protests to attend. And we encourage everyone to keep up that energy every week because we know it's easy to start slacking off.
Yeah, this is a marathon, not a sprint, people.
Exactly.
Speaking of marathons, let's get into that 3-hour episode from last night. We hope that this recap will be more of a sprint.
Yes, this is one thing that we do want to be a sprint. So major takeaways from Ben's season and the recap we saw last night. I don't know if you remember this, but he felt really unlovable and it was kind of a theme.
It was kind of a thing. Luckily, Ben is incredibly charismatic and has that sort of Sean Lowe-esque quality that made him come off as really sincere. He was actually able to articulate his feelings. He was actually able to engage with women and their stories in a way that felt like he was actually listening to them. So those were all good things. We also had a season full of a lot of characters.
Yes, the twins, Amanda Stanton, JoJo, Olivia, Kayla, Jubilee. I mean, this is sort of when Bachelor in Paradise was really hopping. So we start to see more long arc breakout characters from the show around this time. And all of the people I just mentioned went on to be major players in Bachelor Nation in some capacity. Another thing that 2016 brought us was an epidemic of cold shoulder tops. I had forgotten that was such a thing until watching last night, and every woman is wearing a spaghetti strap cold shoulder top, or in Amanda Stanton's case, just a full shoulder free top to run along a beach with her two young daughters, which as a new mom myself seemed really risky because kids like to tug on things. It was a time in fashion that as someone with bad shoulders, I didn't love. But I think we can put that to the side and focus on the action of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you need to get Max some nice cold shoulder tops, some gladiator sandals. Like
he could pull it off. He has very cute shoulders.
He does. He does. I mean, and just great. Everything complements a good chubby cheek. So, but let's get into some of the women that the show really highlighted last night. I think first up was Jubilee, someone that, you know, she really was a standout. We loved her when we were watching, and it really did feel like the show didn't really do her justice, though they tried to make it seem in this recap as though she was a shining star that they really lifted up.
Yeah, and I think it's telling that we don't hear from Jubilee. She's not brought on to do an update. It seems like she's really severed ties quite finally with the show and had no interest in coming on. But she also was the first person out of this Bachelor, the Greatest Seasons Ever series that they're doing, the first Black contestant who is highlighted in a recap. So she does get a full package where Chris Harrison can wax poetic about her grace and star power and heroism. She was a military vet. She had a very tragic childhood. She spoke a lot about it on the show with Ben, that she was born in Haiti. Her entire family died, and she was in an orphanage before being adopted when she was six. I mean, just an incredibly traumatic childhood. And then, you know, on the show, she had a really rough ride of it. It seemed like Ben really liked her, and there's a lot of sort of showy praise for her service in the military, but she is targeted for really intense criticism for what seem like really minor things, and is constantly dealing with social like rejection on the show. One woman says at one point that she wouldn't fit in with the other soccer moms, which just seems like a major dog whistle.
Yep.
So there were all these sort of difficult points in her narrative, but none of that really comes up in her highlight reel here.
No, they're just like, we loved her and she loved us and how beautiful is this? Don't notice that she clearly declined to speak with us.
Chris actually says her story at one point says her story is tragic, but also uplifting, which is just a formulation I would like to see die. Like overcoming horrific tragedy to me is not really an uplifting thing. Like sometimes people are able to go on and sometimes people are able to recover, and that's a good thing. But I'm just wary of using people's suffering, like their real suffering, as some sort of like thing for the rest of us to feel good about because they moved past it. And I do feel like that is sort of how tragedy is often framed on The Bachelor, and this was no exception.
Oh, absolutely. That's how you became the strong woman that you are. Your whole family had to die for that. I mean, that framing, it really does diminish the actual trauma behind what she's talking about. And you know, Jubilee is someone that I would have really loved to hear from. Full disclosure, we hoped to have her on the show today, but understandably, you know, we reached out. She was very kind, but basically said, like, she doesn't want to have anything to do with the franchise anymore. And I really cannot blame her for that. So, you know, I'm glad she was featured, but the show has a way of sort of separating itself from the actual perhaps negative impact that they may have on some of their contestants. Next, after Jubilee, we get a little check-in with Lace. She really seems to have grown. She also, I forgot like what a delightful kook she was on the season. Just incredible. I also forgot that she quoted her own tattoo when she self-eliminated. I mean, God, that was she high impact for the small amount of time she was on this season.
Lace was, I had really forgotten just the laceness of Lace. You know, the first thing she does on the show is make Ben close his eyes so she can kiss him without permission, which I have to say is something that the Bachelorettes do. But I think it's telling that the young men never do that when they are the suitors, because it's gross. You shouldn't do that. Like, it's assault. I'm sorry. And then she proceeds to yell at him for not making eye contact with her during the rose ceremony. And then she gets into a cycle of acting out like that in some way, and then apologizing and saying, the real Lace isn't like that. That insecure, bad Lace came out again, and I'm not going to let that happen tonight. Cue, you know, the insecure Lace coming out again that night, until she finally sends herself home by quoting her tattoo. It's just the kind of thing the show is really made for. And so it's nice to see that she has recovered well from that period in her life. She does say sort of ruefully that, you know, if I hadn't gotten in my head, I probably would have gone pretty far, which I don't know if she was joking, but
I don't know that there's not necessarily an indication that she would have. Maybe, who can say, you know? Whatever comforts Lace, and I wish her all the best, and I'm glad she's doing well.
Yeah, and we actually have quite a tour of women who had a rough go of it on the show and hopefully are doing better now, because next up is Olivia, the season's primary villain. She got the first impression rose. She and Ben seem to have a really strong connection. And then it just rapidly falls apart.
Yeah, it was tough to watch back. You know, we now have known Olivia on a more personal level for years, I guess for 4 years. And understanding her a little better, watching it back, there are moments where I could tell that she was saying something out of awkwardness, or that she was joking and it just didn't land properly, and they put music behind it and it came off as like significantly more obnoxious. It was really hard watching the cake dance thing, although it was like very funny because she is sort of a weird, goofy person in a good way. But it was hard watching it, not because of what she did, but more because they had clearly set her up to be totally mortified. And that just felt really, really icky. Even ickier than it did the first time. But I am, you know, I was really glad for Olivia that we did get sort of an extended check-in with her. I mean, she has done a lot since she came off of that season. She's been extremely open about the mental health toll that it took and encouraging other people to seek help and therapy. She started a podcast, Mouthing Off, kind of owning the mocking around her big mouth. And it's great. She put her news anchor skills to good use. So, you know, I'm glad to see her get at least a touch of redemption on the show.
Yeah. I mean, she told Ben she was in love with him on a 2-on-1 date on a freezing cold island in her bathing suit.
The indignity of that
and
island.
And then she got dumped and left on that windy, deserted, freezing cold island in her bathing suit. I mean, she deserves anything.
For that alone, yeah.
For that alone. My God. I don't care who you are, what you've done. If that happens to you, you deserve a hit podcast. And, you know, she does get a little bit of closure from the franchise here. Chris apologizes to Olivia. I guess I would say he gives an I'm sorry this happened to you apology.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry you felt that way. It was very much I'm sorry you felt that way. It's like,
yeah,
he completely divorced himself from the fact that perhaps she was put in this position to be roundly abused on the internet by the show, and then not at all protected by the show. But you know, he says, for Chris, it's something.
He says, I'm sorry you had to go through this. Like, it was like a natural disaster of some sort, which is sort of done, what The Claire. Bachelor is. Nothing could have been done.
No, The Bachelor, The Bachelor is an unnatural disaster.
But she gets a more sincere apology, I think, from Ben, who surprises her by popping up on the video call with Chris and kind of lays out how he feels he went wrong and says, you know, I should have stood up for you publicly. I should have had more wisdom and maturity in how I navigated what happened on the show and how I dealt with it afterward. And he apologizes. He says, everyone, Olivia's a rock star. And I felt like that was a real good apology. And even Olivia doesn't seem to feel like Ben was that much of a villain in all of this. She seems a little taken aback by how thorough the apology was.
She's like, yeah, that wasn't really your fault, but I mean, thank you.
Yeah, but still nice. And that kind of closes the loop on Olivia. She looks great.
She's doing great. Stunning as always.
Yes. And then we get in a brief check-in with Kayla, who, I mean, her arc on Ben's season was just being extremely sweet and happy to a point that people were mad at her for it. Like, they were like, oh, she doesn't have feelings. All she ever does is smile and say nice stuff to people.
Ugh, like, what that a was bitch. Her whole plot. She also had really excellent hair, and she still does, so.
Good hair on Ben's season. Kayla and JoJo both have very enviable hair. And
Olivia.
I mean, everyone's
all of them,
hair.
Actually. They all had just a lot of beautiful, beautiful hair all around.
Yeah, it makes me mad. And I had forgotten this, but there was the whole Sex Panther situation, which feel like Ben should apologize for, quite frankly.
Truly, that was weird and gross.
He's sort of is reflecting during the show on how sweet and innocent Kayla seems, but then when they're alone, she kisses him, and that makes her a sex panther.
Claire, did you
I
know
would like
that
him to reconsider that
you can be nice and also like sex and making out? Did you know?
No,
I know it's confusing and incongruous. Of course, we get a little catch up with Kayla, and like for anyone who's still doubting it, that actually just is her personality. She really is that nice. We can tell you and attest to it. She also can be funny and snarky. So like, give the girl a break. But she is really happy. She lives in New York. She is recently engaged to a very lovely guy. And we learned last night that Charlene is going to be one of Kayla's bridesmaids. And I believe that Charlene found out that she was being asked to be a bridesmaid by watching last night's special, which is just really adorable. And
it really puts those "will you be my bridesmaid" gift boxes filled with live butterflies to shame.
Truly, this is the best national TV.
I hope Charlene didn't DVR it. You don't want to be the last person to find out. So that brings us into the final two. Ben and Lauren, Ben and JoJo, the sort of love triangle that launched 1,000 think pieces about how Ben was a monster. I had forgotten
what
a big deal this was.
It was a huge deal because there was this sort of unspoken rule that no lead is allowed to affirm their feelings. Specifically by saying "I love you" until after they pick someone. And I mean, I think largely that's just sort of the wise thing to do in order to preserve the relationship with the person you ultimately choose. But Ben cannot, you know, his emotions cannot be held in. And so he tells both Lauren and JoJo that he loves them. And clearly both of them think that he only said it to them. It really set up an ultimately devastating breakup.
I mean, it's wild watching back that Ben clearly knows he's breaking some sort of rule, and he's kind of enjoying the transgressiveness of it. Like, he gives this sort of weighty pause when Lauren says that she loves him, and then says, "I've known for a while now that I'm in love with you too," or something like that.
Yeah.
And it clearly is playing it for drama a little bit. And with JoJo, he says, you know, I love you too. And she's shocked.
She's so shocked.
He enjoys that. He's look at your face.
She says, are you allowed to say that?
Yeah. And what he doesn't understand, he thinks he's like breaking a rule. What he doesn't understand at the time is that it's not really a rule so much as like the smart thing to do.
Right.
If you want the woman you pick to stay with you. Just like a bit of advice, maybe more than a rule.
Right, exactly.
But that did, it moved like the Overton window a little bit, I think, because a few seasons later, we have a bachelor who tried out both of his top two and then ended up quarantining with a woman who got sent home like week four. You know, there are no rules anymore. You can just like date whichever woman you like, I guess. That's crazy. That's not
crazy. It's madness.
And it's all Ben's fault, in my opinion. So then we do see JoJo's breakup.
Brutal. I forgot it was so brutal. And it's exactly why she ended up, I mean, one of the reasons why she ended up being the next bachelorette. It really set up her heartbreak so perfectly. Because he also, the way he says, I didn't know if I could find love. And of course, this is after her entire speech. He does a whole speech and says, I didn't know if I could find love. I found it with you. But I found it with somebody else more, which is just like,
what's wrong with him?
Don't say that. That's very mean. He had really dug himself a hole by that point. But yeah. JoJo is just like pissed, which also reminded me why I liked her so much. Cause she's not just like, that's fine. I'm so happy for you. She's like, ugh, God, yeah. Kind of like, fuck you. It's good.
I mean, she had to be already, because the night before on their sort of last chance date, or two nights before, whenever their last chance date happens, we do get a glimpse of this. She sort of figures out that he's also in love with Lauren and that he's also told Lauren, because despite having told her that he's in love with her, he still seems pretty conflicted. And she's like, okay, so you're in love with both of us. Yes, you told her too. Great. What the hell? Like, what's going on? Are you picking me or what? She pulls him into a bathroom to get away from the cameras to try to get a sign from him that he is going to pick her, and he demurs. So she's going into this, you know, having just been sort of almost told she was the one, or thinking that she had been told that, and then having it ripped away, and then having decided, you know, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to go out there and lay it all on the line and trust that it is me. And then he leads her on with that little speech. I found love with you, oh, but I found it with someone else more. Awful.
Oh, just cruel. Ben, your way with words is working against you here. I mean, and it also puts into perspective the, you know, issues that we know Ben and Lauren ultimately had afterwards, because we see Ben so overwrought with, you know, he's so sad to see JoJo go. He even says, you know, I don't deserve JoJo. And also it made me realize like, oh, so JoJo went into the proposal knowing that he had said, I love you to both of them. Lauren definitely didn't know that until after. And so that's also probably was pretty rough for her. Like I get it a little more on rewatch.
I think that he ended up telling Lauren after they got engaged and before the show aired, but you know, she didn't have that knowledge to arm her at the time. And then to eventually watch the proposal and see that he clearly isn't sure that he's doing the right thing at all. He says, you know, I love JoJo like so much. I could only leave her because I love Lauren even more. And doesn't sound that sure about it. I would die if I were Lauren. I would be done at that point.
I don't
blame her. So you have to think that was really the killer.
I do not I don't blame her for not checking in on this special. She's probably just like, I am married. I can wash my hands clean of this experience.
Yes. We do know what Lauren's up to. She was recently on Listen to Your Heart. She's married to a country star now. But we get a check-in with JoJo ahead of her own season re-airing next week. We check in with JoJo and she says, you know, I respected both Ben and Lauren. I was able to make peace with it and move on. And we do learn that her fiance, Jordan, who met her on her season of The Bachelorette, has never watched that season. And he's about to get a little taste.
Oh, God.
I hope he's prepared.
Yeah. Although I feel that it was pretty obvious from like moment one that she was into Jordan. So he does, she didn't tell two people that she loved them. And his like the number two is what, Robbie? I mean, okay, we'll get into that next week, but Robbie. We also get a check-in between Chris Harrison and Ben. They have a little banter about Ben's quarantine facial hair. Ben and Chris always have good chemistry. They're clearly friends. And Ben kind of says that he like stands by the fact that he was in love with both JoJo and Lauren. And he also speaks, you know, really kindly about his relationship with Lauren. He says, you know, like there just was something missing on both of their ends. And he's really grateful for the relationship now. And there's that there's been space and he, you know, is so happy for her in her new marriage and wishes her all the best. And, you know, it's a good time to be checking in with Ben because he is also now engaged to a woman named Jessica Clark, whose DMs he slid into. And I believe we spoke to Ben a bit about this on the episode Lee and I did with Ben and Becca. So, you know, we got that story and good for him. She's very petite and adorable.
Yeah, they seem very happy. I do love doing a check-in just for, and they were all so young too. So they're all now actually at the age where you probably start getting married. They're all around like 28 to 30 because Ben was 26 4 years ago when his season.
Right. Now he's 31.
Was made. Yeah. So they're all at that marrying age now. And it's nice to see how they've grown into themselves and figured themselves out and decided to partner up with people or focus on their careers.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Just a more solid sense of self, a much more solid sense of self that is very obvious and that certainly I can relate to, like being a big difference between 25 and 31. Like that's a lot of stuff that tends to happen in those years.
If there was any footage of my dating experiences when I was 24 and it was going to be re-aired, I would destroy my television rather than ever rewatch it. So everyone involved in this is very brave. So some things were left out. But honestly, I think because this season was pretty uneventful, not that much that felt super notable. Some of Olivia's specific, tension points with the other women, we don't really go into. The fact that they were mocking her about her physical appearance. I think there was a whole thing about how her toes were fat, which I don't even know what that means. I still don't.
No
I've
idea.
Had 4 years to think about it. No idea. And, you know, there was an unfortunate comment she made about Amanda's kids, calling Amanda a teen mom. And that was really rough. They don't revisit that. And my actual favorite thing that they didn't revisit was Leah. Remember Leah?
Oh, yes.
We don't get Leah at all. Leah was sort of a non-factor on the season
until
she realizes that she's a non-factor on the season and decides to get Ben's attention by donning her nicest outfit, fluffing up her hair, going to see him in his hotel room and saying, your favorite girl, the one you're definitely going to pick, she's not the same with us, as if that's going to do her any favors.
Oh my God.
And then
I
immediately
about
walked
that.
Out to a limo by Ben.
Yeah, that was so disastrous. And then the only other, notable things that we didn't really get into, but we will get into in the, latter half of our episode is, the microaggressions, which Claire mentioned earlier, that were lobbed towards Jubilee, and then a conflict during Women Tell All between the three Black contestants that touched on themes of colorism and honestly just revealed how much this show tends to tokenize its Black contestants and often likes to provoke conflict between them. So we are going to speak to Amber and Jamie, who were two of the other women involved in that, later on. So you can put that to the side for now. And the only other thing that happened during this special was we get a little very delightful check-in with Kaylin and Dean, who just seem like a lovely, committed couple.
Yes, they're very committed. They wear rings that show they are committed, but they're not married, but they have a domestic partnership. Unclear if they are speaking legally.
I don't think not.
So. Dean is like, to be technical, a domestic partnership. And I was like, is it? Or I don't know. They're very committed to each other. They met a year ago, so it hasn't even been that long. And since then, since they met on Paradise, they've been traveling in his van. They have an apartment in Santa Monica, or Kaylin does, but you know, they have a domestic partnership, so they have an apartment, I guess.
My favorite thing about this was that Chris Harrison clearly cannot compute that you might be committed to a partner and not into the institution of marriage. Like, you could just see the wheels turning. He's like, but am I officiating your wedding right now? Like, is that what we're talking about?
Chris is so thirsty to marry people all the time. Like, you can barely get through a season of the show or an episode of this greatest hits without him trying to just abruptly marry some people over Zoom. I don't know. I think just he got his certification to perform, you know, one of the early Bachelor on camera weddings. And ever since then, he's just like, I got this cool thing. Got to use it. No point in having it if I can't just marry someone over Zoom right now. But no one ever lets him.
Poor Chris.
Very sad. It's very sad. So that kind of ties a bow on this episode. Again, like, there were a handful of moments that were fun to revisit. Fond of Ben. Some of the ladies were fun. I would have skipped this season, honestly, if I were picking seasons to cover again. I felt like 3 hours spent covering a pretty standard season of The Bachelor was not time well spent in my life. And I hope that some of you are able to just listen to this podcast instead and cover it in a slightly shorter amount of time. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll hear from Amber James and Jamie Latane about their time on Ben's season of The Bachelor.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear. Like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now back to the show.
Though we got to relive some of the good, bad, and cringeworthy times of Ben's season on this week's Bachelor special, we wanted to continue speaking to contestants whose stories haven't been in the spotlight.
This week, we had the pleasure of chatting with Amber James, who was on both Chris Soules and Ben Higgins' season of The Bachelor, as well as the second season of Bachelor in Paradise, and Jamie Letaine, who was on Ben's season of The Bachelor and VIP3.
Hi, my name is Amber. I was on Ben Higgins' season, Chris Soules' season, and season, I think, 3 of Bachelor in Paradise.
Hi, I'm Jamie, and I was on Ben Higgins' season of The Bachelor, and I did the following year of Bachelor in Paradise.
So, Jamie and Amber, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We're really excited. Can you sort of kick us off by explaining how you both ended up on The Bachelor to begin with?
Yeah. So I actually got nominated from a girlfriend that was my roommate at the time. We were watching Juan Pablo's season, I think, and I was like, dude, I can do this. Like, and then without her knowing, or without me knowing, she nominated me, and I got a phone call like the day after April Fool's. So I thought my friends were like, I was like, you guys are late, you know, like it's not April Fool's anymore. And they were like, no, we're serious. Are you still single? I'm like, yeah. And that just went on from there. So they liked me somewhat. I was a little tipsy at that interview, but I was there.
That's how they get a sense of how you'll be actually on the show.
So yeah,
that's
good. No. More accurate, in fact.
Yeah.
Jamie, what about you?
So I was on it because I was friends with Caitlin Bristow. I worked with her, and I actually didn't watch the show before she was on Chris Soules' season. And then actually right after she got back, we went for brunch and she was telling me about it. And I was like, I don't know about that. And she had actually mentioned Amber's name. She was like, you and this girl, Amber, like you would get along. And I was like, okay, that's so random or whatever. And then when she was the Bachelorette, I was watching just to like support her. And then I saw Ben and I was like, oh, he's tall. And then me and some girlfriends just applied. We were watching the Men Tell All, and it was like pretty late, and I remember we applied. I was like not thinking anything of it, and then that like following a week later was when I got a call from the producers, and I was like, what? And we talked to them for like an hour too, and I was like, this is so weird. They're like, you're gonna have to come to LA like in 2 weeks, and like it was super rushed because it was super late, and I was like, oh, like, okay, this is happening. And I just remember being like, it doesn't feel real. It feels like so random, but I was like trying to enjoy it, but it all happened so fast.
So, and Amber, you came on purpose onto Ben's season. Mm-hmm. So you both kind of came for Ben. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, I was with Chris, and I don't know if you remember him, but he was not my type, let's just say that. And so when they asked me they're like, hey, do you remember Ben? I'm like, oh yeah. And then I also knew that he was like a Midwest guy and he loved the Cubs. And I was like, oh, well, we already have like a little bit in common. Like, I definitely would rather hang out with him than Chris any day. So yes, I was at first I was like a little scared because, you know, you've seen the other people like kind of come on and it's like, oh man, I'm going to be that girl. But I had talked to Becca and I knew she was coming on too. So it kind of like soothed me down a little bit. Like, I can do this now.
Yeah. You're like strength in numbers. We can't both look pathetic. It's going to be fine.
Right. I think what they didn't show was when you guys walked in, we like didn't actually like glare at you. We like said hi and we're like semi, like we're like, oh my God, like this is so funny. And they made it look like, I remember we're all like looking like, what the heck? Like, what are they doing there? And it was like, not really the case in the moment.
No, Jamie, I believe you gave us both hugs like right away. You're like, oh my God. Like,
because I remember Caitlin had told me about you guys because she was good friends with you guys. So I was like, oh my God, I'm finally getting to meet them. And I'm like such a girl's girl. So I was like, oh my God, like more friends.
Yeah, you're perfect on our podcast. We are here to make friends. So
yeah. Production must have been so annoyed that their big ploy for drama didn't really get that reaction. They had to tinker a little bit with the editing.
Oh yeah. I'm sure like some girls are a little like, what the heck? But I knew a lot of the girls knew exactly who Becca was. Like I had gotten eliminated like episode 3 with Chris. So like no one really knew me that well, but I mean, whatever. Just here.
Well, they do now.
Yeah. Were either of you aware of the franchise's kind of overwhelming whiteness? Was that something that you thought about at all when you were agreeing to go on the show in the first place, or was it ever something that you spoke about during casting?
Before, because again, I didn't watch it, so I didn't really realize until I think our season was airing, and I think that our season actually did have like a decent amount of diversity. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when it comes to the actual Bachelor character, it's always been like a white guy. So I think that's like after watching our season, I was like, oh, wow. And then having more people speak up about it. And like, I just remember some people were like, well, I think it's because like Black people don't watch The Bachelor. And I was like, no, I think they do. Like, nope.
I've heard that so many times. Like the audience won't go, like it won't be as high. I've heard that so many times. Well, I was like, with Chris Soules, I was the only Black girl on his season. And I swear they kept me because they wanted just a little bit more diverse in it. Because I remember I was like, I'm ready to go. Like night one, I'm like, this guy is not in my
not
person.
Not for me.
Like he can't even like make sentences right now. I'm over this. And they're just like, you can just stay on a little bit longer. And I'm like, all right, fine. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like when you're in the moment with that person, you kind of feel special, which it did. But then afterwards you're like, keep thinking, you have a lot of time to think. So you're just like, wait, I'm not going to move to Iowa. I don't want to be a farmer. Like what? No, I don't want to be here.
I'm curious, like, was there someone from Chris's, the season that he came off of that you had hoped it would be, or were you just kind of like,
they didn't
knows?
Tell us. Yeah. They didn't tell us who it was until last minute. I remember it's not like how it is now. Like now, like I believe with Chris Soules was like honestly the last time that Instagram wasn't so popular that now you see all these people going on and we're like, do you really want to be married to this guy, or is it because you're about to get 1.7 million followers in about like a few months? Like I honestly don't believe that people are there for the right reasons anymore. I don't. So that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does seem like more and more people who are already influencers are going on.
Right.
And you do have to wonder, it's a great opportunity to promote your Instagram account for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did either of you watch last night's special of Ben's season?
I watched the first like half, and I think Amber watched most of it.
I watched most of the second. Yeah, so, 2 hours. So I'm like, what are they going to do?
What did you think of it?
I mean, it was, it was just, I don't know. I get like what they were trying to do, like just because they're not able to show any of the shows right now. So they're just trying to keep people like, oh, don't forget about us. Like, remember, we take up your entire year. So, and we haven't been there. So I get what they were trying to do. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, I didn't know like Olivia was still hurting. Like she was crying. I'm like, what? I didn't know that. And who else came on? Always came on and Dean and them. Yep. Okay. So I guess to me, I was like, okay, well, I thought we were watching the show. We're just basically interviewing people. So I'm like, if that's what they wanted to do, then it should have been like, hey, we're touching up on everyone that was on the show, which would probably have been more exciting and for a lot of people just to see what they're doing now.
Yeah. I'm interested in that. Like I've watched this season.
Yeah.
And so, it wasn't that long ago. Like I remember when they were saying greatest seasons of all, I was like, that wouldn't be our season. Like, okay. But I feel like watching some of the interviews, like Lace has grown so much. Like, yeah. I remember, like, first week in the house, I had an interview, and I was like, I will never be friends with this girl. Like, no. And, like, meanwhile, like, months later, I met up with her in Denver quickly. And, like, even seeing, like, Kayla progress, and, like, she's just, like, I love watching her and, like, Nick on Instagram. They're so cute. And he, like, stands for her. It's just so cute.
They're very cute.
It is crazy. 4 years feels like a long time, and it's crazy to see how much has happened in everyone's life since then. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like a big part of it is just that, like, this was the last pre-Trump bachelor season.
Yeah, for real.
We all entered a time warp.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. And I think it's like, not to like jump into that type of subject, but I think it's kind of odd right now, especially with everything going on, obviously, that this guy that no one knows except for because of Tyler, that he's now the bachelor. And I almost think that they're doing it just to kind of cover their butts, just because, you know, they don't want to. I mean, we had to write a freaking petition. Like, there's a petition going around.
It's so odd to me that, because I was like, wait, he must have been on the last season. And people were like, no, no, no. And like, Mike is so handsome and seems so lovely. Like,
love Mike.
So nice. Or me like too. Diggy is so funny. Like, I'm just saying, Diggy. Like, I'm sure Matt is a lovely person, and I'm like so happy there's a Black Bachelor. But I just feel like you need to go through the ringer of being a contestant and going through. Like, I was only there for 3 weeks and it took a spiral on my mind. Like,
yeah.
I remember getting back and like going to sleep and waking up in the middle of the night and being like confused as to why I was in a room alone. Cause you're so used to like having people around you all the time. And it's like it's a mind warp. So I'm like, he doesn't, and he's never going to be able to sympathize with like the girls until you go through it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm just like, oh, that's interesting.
You're right. Yep. I mean, unless Tyler's just telling them exactly what's going on.
But you like, can't, like, I tell people about it and they're still just like, what's your point? You got to sit, like, hang out by a pool all day. And I'm like, no. You'll be talking about one subject and they'll come in and be like, but what do you think Ben's doing with Lace right now? Like, what do you think? What do you think he's thinking? Like, do you think he knows about X, Y, and Z? And you're just like, oh, I guess I don't know. And like, Kayla brought books and they would like try and like interject her and try and like get her to stop like reading. And it was just like to like talk to us more and like kind of get more into like the gossipy stuff. Like, it was just like, you can't understand it until you've gone through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what did you guys think? Were you following along over the years as, you know, people like Mike and Diggy were coming up on the show and like Eric Bigger and then not getting picked to be the Bachelor? Did that sort of sit badly with you at the time?
Yeah. It's just like watching them, especially if you watch like kind of the Instagram growth, and I'm like, these men are like bomb. Like, they seem like beautiful people. Obviously I don't know them, but through the television they seemed like beautiful people. And then it was just like, especially Mike, like he seems so genuine and like has a beautiful smile and just like seems like the nicest guy, and he's tall. So it's like, and like I watched an interview with Chris Harrison and he was like, it's not about like race, it's about finding a good man. And I'm like, I liked you, but this interview is making no sense, because The Bachelor has, it's kind of creepy, because when you look at Nick on his seasons, people despised him, like did not like him. I'm personally still not a fan. And then they made him the Bachelor and somehow people are like, oh my God, like freaking out. And I'm like, have the power to reshape how people think about somebody. So why wouldn't you take advantage of having that power and try and create like, you know, a beautiful storyline for a beautiful Black man or Black woman.
Yep.
Absolutely. No, you make a really good point. Like the show likes to play helpless, like, oh, there's nothing we can do. But obviously, and you know, Rachel's been really vocal about this, like they just out of nowhere said, this guy is our Bachelor. So that's how easy it was. It makes you think, I mean, even picking Chris Soules over like Markel, who there was a big grassroots campaign for at the time. And look, we too have met Chris Soules. I'm sure he's nice, the speaking thing isn't his strong suit. So, you know, you're casting someone to carry a show, and there just always seems to, up until this moment, have been an excuse for why, you know, a right. Black cast member can't be elevated. And I think that we're really starting to, well, I think a lot of us have seen for a while, but it's really becoming obvious that was kind of bullshit.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I personally, well, Diggy's from Chicago, Clay's from Chicago, Dustin's from Chicago. I've met Mike plenty of times because they're all friends together. We have a group chat called the Black Charette. Like, it's really weird. But
wait, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, hey, we're the only ones really. Like, let's, and we all live in Chicago. So it's funny to be like, I know Diggy's awesome. Like, I've met Mike too, and he's the sweetest person ever. Like, I met him at Lollapalooza, which is probably the wrongest time to meet him because everyone was recognizing him and we couldn't get to any music because he was getting stopped every 10 seconds. But I know Diggy, like, he's funny. He's close to his mom. He's like, he's just genuine. He's always donating stuff, like his shoes. I don't know if you ever see him like donating his shoes to like the homeless. And he's just like an all around great person. And all of those guys are. And I don't know why. I guess it's because literally there's a meme, I think, that says like Matt saying, "Hey, Tyler, I think I want to be the Bachelor." And he's like, "Let me call him." And then that's the end and he's on. It's like, I mean, yeah, that's kind of what happened.
That's how much they love Tyler, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty sad way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's like a greatest hits roster of people we wanted to be Bachelor at various points in time. And they found a reason not to. But as you mentioned, like, your season was relatively diverse in Bachelor history. Some of the seasons we expect to see recapped this summer have no Black cast members at all.
No.
And there were several women of color on your season. And it actually ended up becoming sort of an explicit conversation during Women Tell All, where the two of you ended up having a conversation with Jubilee about some comments that she made that upset you about being the real Black girl in the house or the full Black girl in the house. And we were curious, that was like the only glimpse that we got of that conversation. Were you guys having conversations about race in the house with the other women? How did that come up?
So in the house, we never really had conversations about it. Cause again, like, they don't really let you have conversations about anyone other than the Bachelor. Like, we'd be talking about McDonald's and they'd be like, "Well, do you think Ben likes this?" And you'd be like, "Okay." But I mean, like, there's moments in the house that I remember when, like, she would say like the N-word to me, which is like her prerogative to say it. I personally don't believe that anyone should really say the word. However, if you're a Black person, you understand where that word comes from. Like, I get it. It's like when girls are saying like the B word and they're like taking it back. Like, I understand it. I don't say it. And it was just like, there was several instances where she would kind of say it to me, or she would say it about something else. And I was just like, okay, come on. And I finally just started being like, come on, girl. Like, we don't really need this. Like, we don't really need that like edit if they did show it or didn't. And then even off camera, there was some stuff like after the show. So it was just kind of building up. And like, I think obviously now I recognize that Women Tell All wasn't a great place to kind of air it out, because it looked like Amber and I were like against her, and it was 100% like not the case. And after that aired, I know like Amber and I got like severely cyberbullied. I was called a racist.
Yep.
For simply stating like, you can't say like I'm the only real Black girl here when there's more of us. I think they set it up where it looked like we didn't have each other's backs, and we weren't just trying to say like, hey, hear my voice. It looked like we were like the half Black girls versus the real Black girl. And it was so not the case. And it was so upsetting to kind of see that edit, because it's like, we're women, we're all trying to like, I know it's a show where we're competing against each other, but at the same time, it's like, we still have each other's backs. When people were crying about Ben or crying about missing their families, we were there for it. And they don't show those things, which I get mm-hmm. it. It's not going to get as many views. But when it comes to something as serious as race and pinning different shades of Black women against each other. Like, that is not okay.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly what I was going to ask about, you know, because that was the only moment on the whole season that we really got a conversation about race. And of course, it was three Black women in conflict with each other. I'm curious, Amber, if you had any feelings about kind of the way that that was set up by production.
Well, like, I know, like, when we were on Woman Tell All, they actually asked us to bring it up. They're like, do you guys mind bringing this up? And we're like, yeah, we don't mind. And I had actually talked to Jubilee right before going on the show and be like, are we good? Like, everything. We were like showing each other, like, what dress you're wearing? We're fine. And then, yeah, and especially back, I mean, 4 years ago, let's just say, like, Taylor wasn't on yet. Rachel wasn't the Bachelorette yet. Like, we hadn't seen any of this happen. So I guarantee if we would have, like, spoken up like that, it would have just been pushed underneath the rug, just like how we had to petition to get a Black Bachelor. Like, it just came out all of a sudden. Like, oh, yeah, maybe this is a great idea. I'm like, what? Oh, because we have these protests going on right now? Now you think it's a good idea? Like, I don't get that. And I want to see their intro on this, you know, like, oh, we met him on, Norma's like, we met him on Claire season and people fell in love with him. Like, oh, we saw him on Tyler's TikToks and we thought this would be a good time to do this. So we'll make you the next Bachelor. Like, I don't know how they're going to do this. So I don't know.
And Tyler's TikTok is the new, like, ABC drama.
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, I sense that they had kind of hoped to bring Matt along on Claire's season. And then Claire took a very public crap on him.
Right. Yep.
She did. They were like, new plan. And then the protests happened. They were like, new plan. Yeah. We just pick him and we do it now.
Yeah, seriously. So,
exactly how you'd want that decision to be made. It's true. I feel like in just 4 years, like with Taylor and Rachel, the conversation on the show has moved forward a lot, despite still being very rudimentary. And I was thinking back on that season and the way that, you know, you sense that there is racism, you know, microaggressions present on set, and you sometimes see the three of you reacting to them, especially Jubilee at times reacting, but the only actual conversation that led to anyone being deemed a racist was with the three of you and like two Black women getting tarred with that label. And it just speaks to the really awful way that the show has always handled that kind of conversation, to let all those like white women and the white host and the white lead like sit up on stage and kind of tap out of that conversation and let the three of you really take the brunt of it. And it was tough to like revisit that. I'm not surprised that they didn't really include it in their summary of the season.
Oh, for real, right? Honestly, right?
So is there anyone that you guys have stayed in touch with over the years from your season? Like, are you still tapped into that Bachelor community?
I mean, I still talk to Jamie.
And I talk to Jen Saab and Lauren Himley. I didn't see her in the beginning that she was on that much. And she was like such a funny like person on like our season. I loved her.
Yeah.
I actually was in Whistler and I'm like walking and so I hear my name and I turn around and it was Taylor. And it was like, it's so weird. Cause like you like hug each other and I'm like, we've never met, but you just have that like weird like connection because you've gone through the same thing. So that was like super awesome. Shoshana, she's such a sweetheart.
I actually keep more in touch with the girls from Crystal season. And just because, I mean, Sam is really close. I'm really close to Alyssa and then Jordan Branch. I don't know if you remember Jordan. She got eliminated episode two, but she was constantly drinking wine, but she's like the best. She's the best person ever. She's actually getting married. She just got engaged. But I constantly am hanging out with them or talking and hanging out with them more so than anything. I remember also like a lot of the girls on Ben's season were a little bit younger than me too.
So it's we just were all little... so young. Like,
yeah,
we were, the twins were 23.
Yeah.
I think I was 23 as well, or 24. I just turned 24. And like, me and the twins were like the youngest. And yeah. Now watching back, I'm like looking at us, I'm like, you can just tell, like, we all have like baby faces. And we're like, I am ready to be a wife.
Yeah.
Send me to Denver, Ben. Like, I will do you proud.
Yeah, and I'm showing up like 30, 31, 32. I'm like, I'm actually ready to be a wife. Like, like, you guys don't know what you want yet.
Like, watching back, it was like, it was cringy. I was like, oh my gosh, I was a child. Like,
I was like, that's the only thing I'm hoping. And I actually was talking to my mom about this. I'm like, okay, The Bachelor's been on what, how many years? 18 years? Something like that.
Something like
so
that.
So all these girls that are showing up that are 22 years old, 23 years old. And then you have like women that were watching this show when it started are still fans. I mean, I think they're kind of getting sick of seeing 22 year olds on there trying to find love when they're like, no, you don't want to find love right now. Trust me. You do not want to find love and start a family yet.
Yeah.
But
I'm with you. As a 32, almost 33 year old, I would prefer if the show just aged directly alongside me. Just as a personal preference, you know. But I think we're all really excited to see Claire Crawley's season. You know, she'll be 39, and I think that's gonna be a nice change.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I heard they're recasting because so many people were seeing who were like, you know, 22 year old doesn't know. She doesn't want a 22 year old.
Well, Ari.
Not at all. Yeah, that's true. Well, he was.
That was a weird season too, though.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, there have been some weird seasons.
Weird. Everyone's weird. I don't know. It's just so that's when like when we went back to like Mike could have been the Bachelor and we chose Pilot Pete. I don't know his last name, so it's just Pilot Pete to me. But I'm like, really? You chose Pete over Mike?
Yeah, I'm still bitter about that one too. Yeah.
And I feel like they're just really trying to have like these grand, you know, different crazy finales. And it's like, people like what they like, just, you know, give them the regular old, like fashion, just proposal, or if it doesn't happen, but like, you don't need to be like, we don't know how it ends. Neither does Pilot Pete. It's just like, it's unsettling. And it was just like, I felt so bad for those girls. Like,
me too.
A, like even for Caitlin Bristow's Bachelorette, when it was like, we're going to do two different Bachelorettes again, pinning women like even more against each other. And then like this season with Hannah Ann and Madison, I was like, I felt
and
so
Barb.
Bad. For, oh my goodness. That was just so awful. But yeah. I did pick Hannah Ann and Madison as like my two favorites in the beginning. So I was like, oh, still.
You were on the money. Yeah.
Yeah. I only watched like the first like couple episodes. Cause then I was like, I cannot, I was trying to do like a recap thing. And I was like, I can't handle this. And I was like really going for McKenna. Cause she's like the new Canadian. And I was like, I'm still cheering for you, but I just can't anymore.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Looking back on your experience with The Bachelor, are you guys happy that you did the show now and Paradise as well? Like, do you feel like overall it was a positive experience?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely grew a lot like from this. You have a lot of time to think about. I mean, obviously I did three times. They asked me to come on the fourth time and I was like, what? Why? Like at that point, I was like, why do you want me? Like, I don't want anyone, one of these guys. Like, I don't. But yeah, obviously I liked it a little bit. And it wasn't even, I honestly did really kind of like some of the guys that, especially Paradise is obviously a little bit different. And I liked some of the guys on there. But there are some guys that I'm like, dang, I wish he was like on it when I was on it. Or I wish he wasn't already talking to someone because then you can't break anyone up, you know, because that's their person, right? After 3 days of knowing each other, heaven forbid. So, yeah, I don't regret it at all.
I definitely don't regret doing it. However, I feel like because I did go on, like, I was pretty young and very naive. I genuinely was like, I'm going to be back for hometowns. Like, Ben and I are falling in love. And I feel like that is a good, like, obviously you're going on for the right reasons in that scenario. But I really, I felt like I wish I knew how to quote unquote play the game. Mm-hmm. I think I never gave in to like some of the producers being like, you're falling for Ben, aren't you? And then they kind of want you to be like, oh my God, I'm really falling for Ben. And I remember they asked this question and I was like, I haven't even hung out with him. Like, we hung out once. Like, I was like genuinely just like flabbergasted. Like, I got so friend zoned, which was like cool. Like, Ben and I would literally sit and talk about the other girls. Like, I was like, Shoshana taught me how to cook this today. And Kayla taught me about the 4 different love languages. And he was like, oh, these girls are great, except for you. But then going on, like, Paradise, like, I got played like a fiddle. Like, I wish I studied before The Bachelor. Like, I wish that I fully understood the concept, because Paradise took me for a ride. Like, they were like, come in here. And then when I walked in, there was only one person sitting there, which was Wells. So I was like, yes, I have to take you out. Cool. And yeah, then, like, you know, Ashley hated me and all this other like nonsense. So I think I definitely grew from it. I mean, you get to talk to like a psychologist, so they'll tell you kind of like where you're mm-hmm. at for all of it, but I definitely grew from it. I'm definitely more like open about love. Like, after Paradise, I like fully started actually dating. And I remember, like, before, I did not date before Bachelor at all. And then after Paradise, I was like, oh, I guess I can do this. If I can do it on TV and get semi-humiliated.
You can do anything. Yeah.
It's like starting on the Black Diamond slope and then going to the Bunny Hill afterwards. Right.
I know. My claim to fame is like, whatever. Me and Sarah Hyland have kissed the same person. So
I wish I could say so much for myself.
It's like the only good thing that came out of this.
Oh my God. Oh, but that's a real thing. So you started dating afterwards. What have you guys been up to since then? Like, have you found love? Like, what are you up to professionally? Where are you at these days?
I have a boyfriend currently. We started dating in February and we just told each other that we loved each other 2 weeks ago. So it was the first time.
That's exciting.
So, I met him through my friend was actually dating his roommate. And so then we kind of like hit it off like that. But now it's a little awkward because they're no longer dating. And so that's a little awkward, but it's good. Everything's good. He's a good person.
Oh, so great. Did you quarantine together?
We did. Well, he lives like 10 minutes away from me, so I can like walk over there. Yeah. And yeah, we were like pretty much together the whole time. We took 2 trips recently, and then because we were both unemployed last summer at the same time too, but we didn't know each other and we're like, dang, we should have known each other last year. But so I did a lot of traveling last year, and then now I'm in sales in Chicago, and that's about it. That's all I'm doing.
I am living in Vancouver. I went back to pursuing acting, which has been super awesome, and it's just kicking off again in Vancouver after COVID, so that's exciting. Auditions are coming in, and then after the show, actually, I went to school for radio and television and I despised it, but I reconnected with my boyfriend who I went to high school with, and we made out in grade 10, little cheeky makeout sesh at a party, and then we reconnected at like through friends years after, obviously, and then he followed me out to Vancouver, and yeah, we're just enjoying life out here. I think COVID kind of put a wrench in some of our plans, but we still are hoping to just travel and enjoy the city and hopefully put a ring on this finger.
Hint, hint.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. You're like, listen to this podcast. Just skip to the 40-minute mark. Yes. But we are so grateful that you guys came on to chat with us, and we love hearing your perspective. Can you just let people know where they can find you? on the socials if you'd like to, or if there's
not your apartments.
Well, like, this is my exact address.
You're like, and your social security number. Throw that in.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's AmberJ22Shy is my handle name. I never really know this, but I think that's my handle name. And I only have like 3 TikTok followers because I thought I could do this, but I then realized that you have to spend hours doing some of these videos. And I'm like, nah, not for me.
And on Instagram, I am the Jamie Rose. Jamie's just with an I. I was doing the TikTok pretty like decently aggressively. I was trying to come with the comedy side. But like Amber, I got tired. Like some people are whipping out like 7 videos a day. And I was like, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Can't do it.
I debate getting back into it, but it is what it is.
I'm still addicted to it. I still have it.
I think it's too old. Like in quarantine, I did like 2 videos and then I was like, this is a lot of effort. Like I don't know. I'm just not cut out for this. I think I'm in my 30s. Like I can't do it. I don't know. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You guys have been a
blast. Thank you guys.
This
was fun.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Amber James and Jamie Latane, and to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod. And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily Rose.
We'll be back next week to recap JoJo's episode of The Bachelor, The Greatest Seasons Ever, plus more bonus episodes that you won't want to miss.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.